You don't even know if there's a
house. Yes, people are
okay. Family friendly, remember. It's for posterity.
Well, I've never been family. I didn't want to cuss.
Jerry said he was going to try to buy it and they didn't say anything this month.
No, he has it.
You ready, Ryan?
No, we're interested.
Go for it.
Where's all the
show? They were so very imaginative.
Good evening. I call this April 5th, 2022 meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Daryl Bolziger. I am the chairman of the Planning Commission, and it is my pleasure to welcome you. This is a public meeting, and you are encouraged to be part of the process. Please participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. We have several rules to help keep us proceed with an orderly meeting, and I ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, please step out of the chamber. When you wish to speak, raise your hand. I will recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones needs to record who you are, so please state your name, spell the last name, and state your address. Keep remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have an opportunity to speak. However, focus on your comments, and I'll keep track of time. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the open meetings law is posted at both exits. I will now ask for a roll call.
Daryl Bolziger?
Here.
Joe Pleska? Henry Neff?
Here.
Melanie Cady?
Here.
Don Hanson?
Here.
Rebecca Fox?
Here.
Ryan Schroeder?
Here.
Milt Heinrich?
Here.
Item number 3, approval of minutes from the March 1st, 2022 meeting.
Moved.
Second.
Moved by Hanson, second by Fox to approve the meetings. Please vote.
All members present voting aye.
Agenda item number 4. Chairman Bolziger opens a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit renewal application submitted by Phyllis Klingforth of County Estates MHP LLC 12389 Ann Drive in Blair for the continued use of a campground with 7 sites at the mobile home park plus the addition of 1 new campground site on tax lot 45, section 26, township 18 north, range 11 east of the 6 p.m. Washington County, Nebraska for 16 years to run concurrent with the existing mobile home park CUP, which expires in 2038. Jeff.
Good evening, Commissioners. Welcome to April. Tonight, for your first consideration, is item number 1, the condition use permit renewal for Country Estates Mobile Home Park for their camp spots only. This is not for the mobile home park, just for the camp spots only. It's located south of Blair on 133. The continued use of 7 campsites for mobile home park. I have been informed by the representative that they are no longer needing to have the addition of 1 campground site. While we can't take that off the agenda, we can you guys can certainly recommend to omit the addition. Now, the property is located south of Blair along Highway 133. Just a little bit more than a mile south of the US 30 roundabout. Zoning district is ag. Mobile home parks and campgrounds are an accepted use requiring a conditional use permit in the ag district. There have been no comments or complaints have been received beforehand or either after we've sent out the notices of renewal. Their request is for 16 years to match the existing mobile home park conditional use permit. This is the zoning overlay. State Highway 133. This is RRE across the street. This is all ag land here. A little bit more of a detailed shot showing the land. These are the current camp spots sites within the mobile home park. This would, I think, it would be the addition of 89 that they no longer need. Here's an overhead view, a little tighter on the GIS. This shows the actual mobile homes in there permanently, and this shows the spots reserved for the camps. Basically, fifth wheels, RVs, things like that. Just looking north from Rose Drive, it shows a few of the fifth wheels for the campers. And then looking back south, again, pull behind trailers. And with that, are there any questions for staff?
Guess that you had, was there any correspondence, please?
None.
Is there anyone who would like to speak to this? Please go forward.
Yeah, my name's Mike Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. I live at 12533 County Road, P-26. I live County Corridor from the park there. I guess my question was conditional use permit is the length of time. Sometimes I guess my feeling is that the time should be shorter to update those instead of like 16 years for them to do it like every 5 years. That way you have a better way of hearing residents in that area complaints about the trailer park. Also gets the owner of the RV park having to come before everybody to get these updated more recent. It just seems like a 16 years is an awful long time to not have any interaction with the residents or the community around. Be my only complaint. I'm not sure why it has to be such a lengthy time that they're wanting, but I think that 5 years or whatever would be a better outcome. That way, if there's any complaints with the property or how it's being run, it could be addressed to this council here. That way, it keeps everybody more involved in the area a little bit better. Considering the type of situation they're in. That's pretty much all I've got.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this agenda item? Seeing none, I'll close the...
One question on...
Sure.
The 16 years, is that the existing permit
it's for the rest of the park?
So the rest of the park.
Yes, the conditional use permit. Yeah, this is just for the campgrounds. The rest of the park does come up for a conditional use permit renewal in 16 more years in 2038.
Jeff, have we ever had any complaints about the campground? You know, the campground sites. I'm not the mobile park arm, but
no, never in the time I've been here has there been any complaints about campground that I'm aware of. Just not the campground itself. We have been policing it. I mean, we are aware of the fact that they have to stay within their limited 7. I think they've been compliant with that.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else from the commission? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve it and omit the new campground site.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
So a motion made by Kading and a second by Hansen to do the CUP as you expected, except for the one campsite that asked for renewal. Is there any amendments to that or discussion? If not, please vote. So that'll go to the council next Tuesday. Agenda item number
five.
Chairman Bozio opens a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit application submitted by Caleb Christensen, 16008 Greb Street, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, in Bennington, Nebraska, for approval to build an accessory structure in front of the primary structure on Lot 1, Grandview Acres, 1051 South 17th Avenue, a subdivision in the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, for the life of the primary structure. Jeff?
For your next consideration tonight is the conditional use permit by Kale Christensen. 1051 South 17th, located in the south part of the city. Mr. Christensen wishes to get approval to build an accessory structure in front of his primary structure, in front of the house up there on 1051 South 17th Street. The zoning district is RL. Section 1103 under accessory buildings does indicate that number B in RL, the low density districts, lots of 45,000 square feet or greater upon approval of a conditional use permit may have the accessory structure in front of the building. As you can see here, the usual rule is no accessory structure in front of the front line of the building and the property line, but because of the size of the lot, that's is a conditional use permit. Of course, there can be additional landscaping, screen, etc., whatever that the commission recommends. The lot at 1051 South 17th Avenue is 179,000 square feet, well meets and exceeds the required, approximately 4.12 acres. The front yard setback for the RL district is 25 feet. Mr. Christensen's purchase of the property is contingent on successfully obtaining a conditional use permit. So staff recommends that if approved, the conditional use permit only takes effect upon his purchase of the property. This is a zoning overlay. We've got Highway 30 here, ACH, commercial highway there, residential medium density, park right there, high density, multifamily, low density multifamily on this side, and then the remainder of the residential low density here. This is a tighter shot of the neighborhood. This is the house that we're talking about. As you can see, there's quite a bit of distance. The rest of the homes in this neighborhood are there 25 feet back setback. This is about where the 25-foot setback would come on this property. This was supplied by Mr. Christensen. This shows where he wants to put his accessory structure. He's allowed by right up to 2,400 square feet. And this, I threw the topo in here because this shows the flat areas that he could build this. Obviously, that's a pretty steep hill on the west side. And finally, a view looking on 17th Avenue, looking northwest. I believe that is the house up there. This about would be about where the setback is. Any questions for staff?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any pictures or anything on what kind of building he's talking about here?
I do not. He is here, maybe he can talk about that.
Are there any covenants in this neighborhood?
Not in RL, not that we would enforce.
Nothing enforced, okay.
Yeah. By right, he's allowed to have, again, under conditional use permit, the building in front of that front line. I shouldn't say by right, by exception.
Okay, thank you. Was there any correspondence on this one? Would the applicant like to come up and talk to us?
Thank you for having the meetings, I guess. With that being said,
Did you give us your name and address?
Caleb Christensen, 16008 Grebe Street. It's the name of a bird, actually. Bennington, Nebraska, 68007. Like Jeff said, the purchase of the property is contingent upon the approval of the conditional use permit. It would be placed on top of the hill. With that being said, is there any other questions or concerns regarding the structure?
Yes, I have one. Do you intend to try to match the style of the home and
the
design?
I do. It would be a very, very beautiful type of shop slash shed, per se. It would be conforming to the area and conforming to the house specifically. Thankfully, I have a brother-in-law that's an architect. I have been in communication with him, but I would build up to 2,400 square feet. It might not necessarily be that big. Now, with that being said, I have visited with all the neighbors. I don't think there's any here tonight within the last week, and especially today. They've been very gracious, welcomed me into their homes, was able to answer any questions or concerns that they have. I think the biggest one was that they thought I was going to put a building like 30 feet off the street, and that's just not the case. I was able to answer it's going to be up on the hill that's conforming. Sidewalls, you know, 12, 14 foot sidewalls, so it's not going to be taller than the house by any means.
What's your intended use for that, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so when the house was built in 2006, the garage is actually fairly small. My wife and I have got a bunch of kids, right? So I drive a full-size Silverado, and my wife drives a van. So, you know, to mow 3 or 4 acres there, you can't really fit a mower in there. So the idea is to have a shop where I can store a lawnmower and equipment. I also like to do a little bit of woodworking. It's kind of my therapy, per se, so that I enjoy to do. So that would be the intent of it, but it'd be a very nice building that I can use over the years. So we plan on putting our roots down here for the next 20 years. It's my next 20-year home. So.
Thank you.
Is there some particular reason you picked that site over the backyard?
Yeah, that's a good question. When you are actually inside the house, it's really has an open view concept to the back that looks north, that overlooks the backyard. And the backyard isn't very big, believe it or not, and it's actually quite hilly. So that would take away the backyard for the kids to play. That would make it really tough on my wife and or myself when they're outside playing. And I'd rather have them playing in the back instead of the front yard. I would assume anybody with kids would understand and respect that. So I think putting a building in the back would actually take away from the property, believe it or not. It'd make it look very scrunched in the back.
And my next, is that on city sewer and water up there?
I believe so, yes.
I mean, there's no lateral field in the backyard, is what I'm
thinking. No septic system, right?
No, ma'am.
We'll check them afterwards.
Well, it doesn't make a difference where you put the building. That was.
I think it's city.
It is.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's city water and sewer, I believe.
I noticed the picture of the building puts it right on top of those trees. Are you planning to take the trees out or do new landscaping? Or?
Yeah, I do. I do. I plan on putting landscaping. That property today has very little landscaping. You know, Kim's done a very good job of keeping it up to an extent, but it could actually use a nice facelift of landscaping. So it would have landscaping. I also do plan on putting sprinklers on the property. Enhancing the property would be the intent. Probably different trees, that type of thing. It would add value. If you actually get up there, some of those trees aren't the best. Some of them are uglier, per se. So.
Okay. Any more questions of the applicant? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Anyone else want to speak on agenda item number 5? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain what the commission wants to do.
I'm not setting a precedent by living, building that close in the front yard. End of comment.
He's got 4 acres, so I think there's going to be a difference when you've got something in town as opposed to this. I think there's just a little bit of difference.
Well, no, I understand that. I'm just...
Yeah, no, I get it.
Down
yeah.
the road somewhere, if somebody has a smaller area.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he did it. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Just a question, comment.
Yeah, no, I see that, yeah.
Jeff, do you know if anyone else, if we have any other buildings like that? We must have some others in the city, or do you know?
I think up in, Rob, do you remember up in the Pinecrest neighborhood north, on the north end, wasn't there an accessory structure in front of one of the large lots up there?
We have like 2 of them up there.
Okay.
So this wouldn't be the first time, in other words, to do that?
All right.
Right behind me.
Yeah, I think there's one in my neighborhood too.
Irwin's building, when he built it, was in front of the house.
Yeah, it was.
And it's off to the side, so it doesn't really affect it.
Well, the way I see this one, it is smack dab in the front yard, right at the And I understand what you're doing.
And it is on top of the hill.
Yeah, so
you're going to see it pretty easily. That's where some possible landscaping or trees or something might help that.
He wants to come up.
Got another question?
No, he wanted to say some more.
No, I think if you're actually, I would encourage everybody, if you have any questions or concerns, from actually coming up the hill, you would never see it. And I think the only time that you might potentially see it is if you're on the very top part, all the way to the back, close to the pasture that's back there, you might see it. Again, like I said, I have visited with all the neighbors there that are next to the property and or across the street, and they have all given the okay. I think some of them were going to actually show up tonight, but the fact that I knocked on their door and explained everything, they were very pleased.
Anything else? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
I move to approve the cup.
It's been moved by Fox to approve.
Tied to the purchase?
Well, he's. It's,
we probably want to add the. Yes. Want to add this part.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. That's what I think it says, right?
Yeah, as it says.
Right.
As the CUP says.
Right.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Heinrich. Anything else from the commission? Does that make sense to you, Jeff? Or if we do it as is, then if he doesn't buy it, then it goes away? Is that part of the CUP?
Yep.
I think under the actual agenda item itself, it does not mention the fact that if anything about the condition use permit as it.
That was just up on your wall.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That was my recommendation to staff. It was not on the agenda to follow that. It was just where I recommend. It's not as part of the application to follow that. It's a part of the application, part of me suggesting to the commission that that should be a stipulation.
Does anyone want to amend?
I so amend.
Okay. Fox amends it to add that wording.
Yes.
Does anyone want a second?
Yeah.
Heinrich will send to that. So let's. Should we have a roll call vote on the amendment? Because we have an amendment.
We haven't voted yet.
Her original motion said
tied
to the purchase of the property. Her original motion was that.
Okay, tied to the purchase. Okay, we'll just do it that way then. Okay. So vote on.
Amended it before.
No.
It should be up.
I said it was so. Yeah, it says it in the.
It says it on the,
it says on
the motion that you put here.
And it says an application. I said.
Yeah.
It was up there. Did you vote?
Oh, I didn't vote yet.
Did you just go away?
Too busy
just went away.
Here comes Dan. There we go. Members present voting aye. Keating, Schroeder, Bosiger, Fox, Hansen, Heinrich, Neff voting nay.
So the motion passes and that'll go to the City Council next Tuesday. Okay. Item number 6. Chairman Bolziger opens a public hearing to consider an ordinance amending the City of Blair zoning regulations, Article 3, Section 303, Article 5, Section 501, Article 7, Sections 701, 702, 703, 704, and 705, and Section 1103 by adding and changing language regarding accessory structures and their setbacks. Jeff.
Oh, excuse me. Well, for our last agenda item tonight, we're considering an ordinance for accessory structures throughout the city. The main bullet points of this are to regulate carports. Right now, we do not consider carports an accessory structure. So really, they're unregulated. You can put one up in the backyard, in the side yard. We tell people not to put it up in the front yard. But this would actually give language saying no, you cannot have them in the front yard or the side yard, just regulated to the backyard. Another thing we don't have in the city is you cannot have a garage, an accessory structure, in the side yard next to your house. There have been a couple, I think about four recently, that have kind of, through administration changes, have gotten through. Not necessarily a bad thing, especially since they were designed to look like the house. But By our zoning regulations, you're not supposed to have any accessory structure in the side yard. This would add the option of a garage, and a garage only in the side yard. But that garage, even if it's unattached, would still have to meet the side yard setbacks as if it was attached. We also have in there that it has to be minimum 4 feet between the primary structure of the house and the garage. We chose 4 feet just because, so with the sidewalk, you have a 36-inch door. If anything is that close, of course, they've got to meet some fire standards with the construction. Another idea would be add some design standards to these garages. So as it reads now, is if you want to build a garage in your side yard, obviously you can't come out in front, and it should match the house in color, shingle style, and stuff and such. Also, some of the changes will better define the differences between additions and accessory structures. We've got several places in town where a breezeway, a small piece of roof, has turned into part of the primary structure. So they were able to build a larger, bigger, for lack of a better term, accessory structure connected by a piece of wood. This would clean up that language, would omit that. You would not be able to have that anymore. If you were going to add on to your house, you'd have to either have to have a common roof. So if you're going to add on, be like one common roof. There's a place up in Deer Acres on the corner of 22nd, I think, in Deerfield. They've added on garage there, and they have a common roof. And it would also have, if you're going to add on to your primary structure, you'd at least have to be 40% of the wall. So you couldn't add 2 feet here, you know, whatever that. You would have to be 40% of that common wall. That could be changed if somebody thinks it should be more or less. We chose 40% just kind of based on what would be fair, but of course that's kind of a market value decision too. And then finally, to set some design standards to ensure that these additions and accessory structures and placement are kind of more harmonious with the neighborhoods. One thing with carports, you cannot have anything really more than a car in it right now, which omits boats, trailers, recreation vehicles, stuff like that. We would add that to the language for carports. You can have it in your backyard, you can park your RV, you can park your motorcycles, you can park your travel trailers under the protection of that. With that, I think everybody's had a chance to look at the proposed changes. Where would anybody like to start with any questions?
This is the proposed change. It was brought to the commission back about 2 months ago, so that you had time to kind of look around and see if there's something that you didn't like with it. So
yeah, there's a few of them I couldn't believe we let happen, but they happened many years ago, so
yeah,
can't do anything about it now. But
I guess one question I have is,
yes,
if we make these changes or the council makes it, approves it, does everything else that's there right now get grandfathered, or are you going to be, what happens to all these things are non-conforming?
That was going to be a question I would have for Solomon. If stuff is grandfathered, stuff in there. Some things that we don't regulate at all, like carports, I don't know the answer to that question.
If they're existing, they would be grandfathered in going forward.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean, I don't think you can take that away from somebody.
No.
Without paying for, you know, lack of a better term, that would be an inverse kind of condemnation to me.
The only other thing I have is, it's not really a question, but you guys are going to have to police these things. It's one thing to, when someone asks for like an attached thing or something, and you take care of it. But some people do, like I just saw the other day, an RV with a canvas over it right in the front yard. You know, so I don't know, you might have a lot of policing to do, but.
Well, we do see things, sometimes we see them late in the game. But knowing that this is the way it is written now, we simply say, you know, it's been brought to our attention that you have this accessory structure or with this shed in the side yard, and they'll say, well, I've had it here for 6 months. And it's like, well, I'm sorry, it was just brought to our attention now. You know, we're probably not going to go out and actively police things, but when people come in for their permits, we can advise them that way. And we kind of watch for things, too. We try to do as much as I can. But it's, you're right, there's probably going to be some things missed.
Well, you do have a starting point, but at whatever point this gets accepted, so that if someone does something, you can go say, okay, you didn't follow the rules, you
right,
have to remove it or whatever.
You know,
you have a starting point.
And if it does pass, you know, maybe there could be some sort of notice in the paper saying that, you know, as of this date, there's going to be some changes or something like that. I don't know. That's just an option.
So do we have any, is there any discussion on the board, on the commission, or?
Well, I have a question as to the design features, and I'll use Mr. Christensen as an example here. If he was putting his structure behind the building, okay, his house, and he wanted to use, I'm just going to name Morton or some builder that builds nice garages, same color and stuff, may not be brick and all that kind of style. That okay?
So
I mean, you're trying some design features, but he's hiring a nice company that puts in a nice property, doesn't put in a pink one, it matches the color of the house, all of those kind of things.
So the design standards, if they built a garage, would be mostly only applied to the side yards.
Okay.
If they want to have a metal building or pole barn or something like that in the backyard, this would not prohibit them from doing that. But it would limit it, it would keep it in the backyard.
Okay. And the design, does the design standards impact that?
It does not. We just, as it reads, we're just saying if you're going to put your garage only in the side yard, then it has to match the design standards of the house.
Okay.
Color, material, stuff like that. The floor that I've taken pictures of, they got in, they did a wonderful job. You can't even really tell that they were not designed that way. So, and I would hope that most people, when they're building and adding on, they're looking at this. You want to be able to sell your place somewhere down the road. But we also don't want to limit somebody from not having a less expensive pool barn or shed, something like that. And we feel if you're in the backyard, like your carports or anything else like that, then that's a good place for them, as it's not really out front. It does keep everybody somewhat happy because they can have what they want, but still keeps the front of the neighborhood, you know, intact and harmonious.
Mm-hmm. So you're just going to implement these. I guess I just see issues with than not being able to enforce it quite, you know, just if somebody tells you, it makes you aware of it?
Well,
it's part of the building permit now. I mean, once it's passed, it's part of the building permit process.
It is. And right now, if, you know, if somebody puts up a big shed in the backyard and it's well above, you know, good size, we'll probably notice it. I mean, and there's not a lot of builders in town that will come out and try to skate. There may be some, and we, you know, we try to watch for that. This just gives us a starting point. Will we police everything? Will we catch everything? No, but we probably don't do that now, as much as we try.
Now, what was the old, I see the tent for weddings and all that,
so
3 days.
We don't even have something in our code about, let's say you want to have a graduation.
Yeah.
Technically, you can't have anything like that in your front yard, because you're not supposed to have any structure or anything between the front of your house and the property line. And we thought, well, while we're doing this, let's just put that in there. So if you're having a graduation and you want to put up a tent or in your front yard to have parties and stuff like this, you should be able to have that for 3 days and not have to worry about the city coming after or something like that. Now, how that may impact your grass and lawn, that's a decision each homeowner would have to make a decision. There's other things there too. Connex, the metal Connex is not the brand name, but kind of term for them. We're not going to allow those in residential areas. We had some come in. We were able to say you really have to move that. They've moved them. Those are going to be relegated to only non-residential areas. But if you bring a pod in, and we've had some of those come in recently too, or any sort of moving container, or you're trying to get something in your driveway so you can empty out your house and move or do some construction, we are allowing that. I think there's a timeline for that, up to 14 days if you have one of these pods in there. If you had to put it in the street, you would have to talk to the city first, or the right-of-way or anything like that. You know, we're trying not to be so stringent on some of these things. We're also trying to have some language in there. That if somebody brings these items in, these issues in, we have a way of dealing with them rather than saying, I don't know. Or my favorite words are, it depends.
I guess my question, because I'm reading what the agenda item says, what are you asking us to do? We're looking at it, had a public hearing. It doesn't say to that you want us to approve something, or?
Well, you could recommend to recommend adoption of the ordinance.
Okay.
Amendments as written, or if there's any amendments.
Make changes to amendments.
That you would like to change. You're obviously within that power.
So, as commissioner, does anyone like to see any changes to the ordinance that they've provided, the ordinances? So, would anyone like to make a motion?
Do you have any comments?
I'm trying to ask the public.
Anybody in the audience?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, public hearing. Sorry. Does anyone in the audience like to speak on this agenda item? If not, I'll close the public hearing and then ask the commission what they would like to do.
I'll move that we recommend these changes.
Second.
Been a motion made by Heinrich, a second by Hansen to approve the ordinances. And all in favor, please vote. Just vote.
All in favor.
All members present voting aye.
Okay, agenda item number 7, report from the staff.
Nothing to report.
Agenda item number 8, looking for a motion and second to adjourn the meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Schroeder moved to attend the meeting, and Kaden seconded.
Okay, great. Thank you. I used to hear his voice.
Sorry, I was kind of mumbling.
That's all right.
We'll take whatever.
We both were at the same time. I had to give it to one. Thank you.
We were the last time.